Welcome to 318 Live, the city's young adult ministry. I'm excited that you're here tonight because we are continuing in our new series called Never Late is Better. Yeah, can we say that together? Our new series, Never Late is Better. Yeah, because we're learning this, that if you trip on cords on stage and fall, everyone will laugh at you. But, you know, that's just the price you pay. So we're going through our new series called Never Late is Better. And we've been talking about timing when moving from our past to our present and into our promise while following the story of Moses. If you'll remember in week one, we talked about our past. We talked about the things that were plaguing our lives. We saw that through the scriptures, if you would be willing to humble yourself before God, that he would be willing to deliver you from what plagues your life. We ended on the note, don't wait for God to do tomorrow what he is willing to do today. And last week, we talked about Moses and the Red Sea. We talked about stepping into our present, and we learned that our present problems aren't problems in the Lord's presence. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
Man, I'm trying to preach, and you guys are trying to hold me back, but I ain't gonna let you stop me. It ain't gonna happen. We learned that through proper positioning and posture, we can walk in the Lord's protection and provision. And this week, we're going to be talking about our promise and the tools we need to inherit what God has already given us. So before we dive into the scriptures, I just have a question to ask for you. And I would just ask that for my sake, would you be brutally honest? You know, and this is going to be one of those times where I'm going to need a show of hands. I'm just going to need to know. Have you ever done something absolutely ridiculous 100% because of the people you were with? Like, there's no way you would have done it. Okay, hands everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Why do we do that? Why is it that we seem to somehow or another make the dumbest decisions based off of who we're hanging out with? You know what I'm saying? Whenever I was 17, I worked at a church camp, and I sold cotton candy for about 5 years of my life. If that will contribute to childhood obesity, trust me. Been there, done that. I mean, like, I would snot blue just from sugar going into my nasal cavity. That's worse than smoking, because that stuff will get in your lung. I'm just joking. I made that up. But anyways, I was cotton candy man at this church camp. And 1 year, I'd been doing it for a few years, and then 1 year, we got this new guy. It was kind of like the same crew had always done it, and we got this new guy, and his name is Ben, and this is why I said his name out loud in church, because trust me, he ain't listening to the podcast. Okay, so Ben was real sketchy. Ben, yeah, the things he said should not be said at church camp. So we worked about 4 weeks together, and around week two, he's like, hey, you guys want to make bombs? And he's older than us, and you know, we're all rooming together, and I'm figuring, you know, we need to bond more, and I'm like, yeah, yes, yes, we need to make bombs. This is a brilliant idea. And he's like, well, let's run to Walmart, and we'll get the stuff to make it. And so we went to Walmart and we got the following ingredients. No, I'm just joking. I'm not. We went and got all this stuff. And man, I remember the first time I was a little like, is this going to work? You know, I don't know, because it didn't really make sense. But sure enough, we got out in this field and he started mixing these chemicals together in this bottle. This thing sounded like a freaking shotgun. It was like, boom. I mean, it was loud. I really was hoping someone would jump. No one did, but she looked up, so I'm doing good. Anyways, it was so loud. It was so loud, and I became infatuated with these little bombs that you can make out of the cheapest material at Walmart. You'll really have to look it up on the internet. I'm just joking. So anyways, we went, and man, my whole paycheck went to buying bomb-making stuff. And then we had bunk beds, so I was up on the bunk beds, like, tucking away all this stuff. And then every night, we would make these bombs, and we'd set them around, like, girls' dorms. We'd just, like, random places, because that will freak a girl out, especially when you're at a Pentecostal church camp, because everyone thinks the Lord's about to come. And so, anyways, I mean, we even put them in like dumpsters in midday, which that's kind of like one of those reverberating boxes for, like, you know, they put speakers in those boxes to make it louder. Well, bombs work the same way up in dumpsters. So we did that for a while. And so anyways, they started kind of like catching on to us. They had narrowed it down that it was somewhere within the concession stand staff workers. It was a very, very large church camp. And so there was a lot of people out there, but the authorities that be had determined that it was coming from the concession stand area. They knew it was us, but they couldn't like put their finger on it. And so one night we go out there and we're sitting out by the dorm, and my friend was like, whoa, what's that? I was like, what? He's like, someone just parked up there over on that hill. And I was like, well, I don't see anyone. And he's like, yeah, no, someone just parked out there. And I was like, well, whatever. Y'all want to make bombs? and they were like, no, let's not do it tonight. And I was like, okay, I mean, that's fine. And so we didn't. Turns out that monitor had stayed there for 3 hours that night watching our dorm because they were determined to catch us. But we didn't do it that night. So the next night, we go out there, and they weren't there anymore. And so we're like, all right, let's go. And I'm the eager one. I'm that guy. I'm like, come on, guys, let's go. And everyone else is like playing it cool. And I'm like, can I make it? I want to make it. Like, you know, I am not chill at all. I'm not the guy that you want to rob a bank with. I'm the guy who's like, so we're robbing it. We got this. We got this. You know, I'm the one who's like jumping around like, we got this. Get in the game. And everyone else is like the cool one who's like, you know, you're gonna get us in trouble. And I'm like, all right, yeah. Yeah. And so anyways, I decided that I was going to be the one to go make this bomb. So I go outside the dorm. Homebro number one is checking it out. Homebro number two is like over here. And I'm the one with the bomb. So I go over here and I make the bomb, and it's kind of like a time bomb, so you got some time to get away. And so I dropped it off. Our church camp was so big, like I said, we had like streets, mailing addresses. We had cops that would patrol it. Like, it was a huge church camp. And so I dropped off this bomb, and I'm walking back, and right before I'm crossing the street to go into my dorm, this monitor drives past me. The bomb hasn't gone off yet, but I'm coming in from the area where the bomb's about to go off, and I'm walking across, and I'm like, hey, oh, no, I knew it. I knew I got caught. And so I ran inside the dorm, and I was wearing some, I'll never forget this, I was wearing some high-top Converses, and I was like, yeah, you know whenever you try to take off, like, shoes because you don't want to untie them because you're in a hurry? That was me. And I ripped off a pair of high-top Converses. My feet are still disformed because of that. And I'm laying in the bed, and we're all just sitting there. Of course, we hear it blow up, and then we hear like four-wheelers and vehicles. We got like little tin walls, and I'm like, oh no. And we hear them just like coming around, and then they're stopping. And I'm like, okay. I'm sitting there. God, my heart's going so fast. And then there it was. Someone knocks on the door, and I'm like, I'm not getting it. I'm like, they can bust this. They can huff and puff and blow our door down. I'm not getting up. I've been asleep for 3 hours, dang it. And so Ben, the guy who taught us how to make bombs, he gets up, and he gets it. And they say, why don't you step outside? And so it was just me and the other guy left, and we're like, what do you think's happening? And so we had already decided, because Ben was like, look, No matter what, we're lying about it, okay? No matter what. I'm like, yeah, no matter what. No matter what. Doesn't matter what happens. We didn't do it, and we don't know who did it, but we'll help them. You know, no matter what. He's like, even if they say this. I'm like, even if they, no matter what. So he comes in. He's like, guys, they want you. We're off. We're out. We're out. And I was like, no matter what? You know, I'm that guy. And so I step out, and there was two cop cars and like three four-wheelers and a million golf carts. And there was like a crowd of people around my dorm. And I'm like, cool.
And so I stand up against the I stand up against the thing, and there's this cop. He's questioning me. He's like, "How would your parents feel if they had to bail you out of jail tonight?" I don't know. I mean, I guess probably. Is this rhetorical? Yeah, I said, yeah, that's going to suck. I'm like, yeah, that's sinuses. It's been in the woods over there. It's pollen everywhere. I'm like, yeah, that's going to suck. That's gonna be really bad if my parents have to drive from 3 hours away to bail me out of jail. Don't do that, please. And so to cut a long story short, they went and gotten my boss. And he came out there, and he was worse than the police for sure. That was my original pastor. He, man, he was not happy. His sons were like, "Look, brother, you don't want to wake him up. Like, this is not going to be good." And they're like, "No, we're going to wake him up." And we're like, "Oh, Lord." And so, yeah, we got fired that night for sure. Yeah. And so we the next morning, I had to pack it up and leave church camp early, and I was heartbroken for all those kids that wouldn't get cotton candy. I was like, man, I was like praying for you guys, like, golly, bless them, Lord, bless them. Man, and I actually took a license picture. God, I wish I had that picture. That picture might be on my computer if you can find it. It's my license picture I took on my way home because I lost my license probably in the woods. And it looks horrible. I'm going to find it eventually and show it to you. It might be in my Dropbox under fat pictures. You would enjoy it. You would enjoy it. So this is what ends up happening. Ben gets fired. Ben is fired for good. I'm fired for the rest of the week. And my pastor's like, "Look, you know, we'll hire you guys back. Y'all can come back." Because there's something that my pastor knew. Because my pastor knew us. And he knew that there's no way we would be doing that if Ben hadn't have been there leading us. And so the voice that you listen to will determine the future you experience. Whatever voice you are listening to will determine the future that you're going to experience in life. And as we're pressing on in this series, we're talking about the story of Moses. And Moses is now in prime position to step into the promise that the Lord has given him. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Did I say it wrong? I always say it wrong. Dang it. The fifth book of the Bible, chapter 1. Man, someone really thought that was funny. And it's one of those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, are my pants down? You know, because that's every public speaker's fear. I guess they say that. I've never feared that until just recently. All right, I'm done. That fifth book, chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. This is what it says. It says, "You have now reached the hill country of the Amorites that the Lord our God is giving us." Note, this is after they crossed through the Red Sea. It says, "Look, he has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged." So this is what's happening. They cross through the Red Sea, and the Lord's saying, "Okay, now there's your land. Go occupy it. Go take your land. That's your promised land. That's your future. That's what I've been telling you. You can have this entire time." And he says this. He says, "Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged." So this is what they do. Moses says, "Okay, we're going to send out 12 spies. Have you heard the story of the 12 spies? Right? So he says, "Okay, we're going to send out these 12 spies to check out this promised land." Before we talk about the spies, can we just talk about the promised land for a second? Because remember, they were in Egyptian slavery come week one, and now we've progressed to week two where there was the getaway, and week three, now when they're inheriting all that God has given them, the promise. They're going from slavery to utopia. And so what they do is they send out the 12 spies, and they come back with this report. They say the land is bountiful, bountiful. Whenever you come from slavery, bountiful sounds real good. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is what it says. Probably my favorite part. I think it's the most powerful part of this exposition of scriptures. It says that this land is flowing of milk and honey. I don't know what that looks like, but I think I've told you once, and I'll tell you again for those of you who don't know. If you've ever had a counterculture Humphrey, that is what flowing of milk and honey looks like. So what we see here is they've been eating slavery food, and then the Lord is saying, no, 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 no. Go through the Red Sea. Go into the promised land. Free Humphreys for everybody. This is incredible. Free Humphreys. And you say, well, I'm going to need some more scripture reference to back that up. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 says this. It says, we entered the land you sent us, exploring its indeed bountiful country, a land flowing of milk and honey. And then we go back to verse 23, and it says, when they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes. What comes on a Humphrey? Grapes! Grapes come on a Humphrey. I'm telling you, the promised land was all you can eat Humphrey buffet. And you know those dudes are expensive. That's some bountiful land if I've ever heard of it. But, okay, let's be honest. Let's be honest. They're in slavery. They're under oppression. And the Lord God is delivering them. The Lord God is delivering them from their enemies, and he's literally giving them a promise that they've always wanted and a promise that they've always desired. Can I tell you that the promises of God are not weak? He does not give them a promised land that's only kind of bountiful, that's kind of full of provision, that's kind of a nice place. You understand that whenever the Lord gives you something, and it's truly from the Lord, you know, it's not just something you got and you slapped the Lord's name on it. Whenever the Lord truly gives you something, it's exactly what you need, and it's perfect in every way. That's what the Lord is giving them. And so what happens is before they go and they inherit this land, before they take over the land, they send out 12 spies, one from each of the tribes. And so this is what they do. The 12 spies, they go out there. You can read about the account in Numbers chapter 13. They go out and they explore the land. Moses says, go here, whip around here, see what this looks like, come back. They were there for 40 days. 40 days in the promised land. And they came back and they had this scouting report of this is what the promised land looks like. Now, there's something really interesting about the promised land. They all agreed on the facts. Everything that they said about the promised land was true. They were all in agreement and in alignment whenever it came to the details of the promised land. They said, indeed, it is bountiful. It's great, but there's giants. There's giants. And they were like, yeah, they all agreed. It was bountiful. It was awesome. It was perfect. And they all agreed there were giants, and they look scary, but they're there. This is what happened. They all agreed on the facts, but they came back and there were two different attitudes. There were two different attitudes. You had Joshua and Caleb who came back and were like, yeah, man, it's got all the fruit, honey, and stuff like Humphreys for everyone. And he's like, yeah, and there's some giants. But they said, we are able. He says this, we are able. The Lord has given us that land, and we are able. What did the Lord say in Deuteronomy chapter 1, that fifth book of the Bible, chapter 1? He says this. He says, don't be discouraged and don't be afraid. Go take the land that I'm giving you. And Caleb and Joshua come back and say, it's everything that he said and more. There's giants. Let's not worry about them. We are able. And then there's 10 other spies. And they said, yeah, it's got all this. It's got all that. It's got the giants. We can't do this. They're going to crush us. They're going to kill us. What are they doing? They are walking in fear. They are walking in discouragement. They are literally walking in everything that the Lord told them not to walk in. Why? Because that attitude yields a different response to the outcome. You see, the 10 spies were walking in fear. Caleb and Joshua were walking in faith. The 10 spies were walking in doubt. Caleb and Joshua were walking in trust. The 10 ultimately walked in disobedience. And Caleb and Joshua walked in obedience. This is what you've got to know. Whenever you walk in fear, as it progresses, it will turn into disobedience.
You cannot walk in fear and inherit the promises of God. It just won't happen. You have to either have fear or you have to have faith. You cannot have fear and walk in what faith provides. This is what's so funny. How many of you guys know, Shaphat? Oh, none of you guys? I thought y'all read the Bible. What about Igal? No one? Palti? No one? Hey, that was three of the other 10 guys. Ain't no one knows the other guys' names. Why? Because they were forgotten because of their fear. Everyone knows Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they were remembered because of their faith. Fear will erase your name. Fear will erase what God had promised for you. In Hebrews chapter 11, in my Bible, it says this. It says, great examples of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is used as the hall of faith. I don't see a hall of fear. I don't see great examples of fear. If there was a chapter in the Bible where God highlighted all the incredible men of fear, I've missed it. And those 10 guys, their names would be at the very top. You know, just imagine how that chapter would start off. Fear. It's what stops you from gaining everything you hope that will actually happen. It's what gives you doubt about things you cannot see. Through your reputation of fear, the people of days of old earned a bad reputation. You know what I'm saying? Like no one is remembered because they had great fear. And also, no one walks in the promises of God when they walk in great fear. Why? Because fear is the predecessor to disobedience. You cannot accept fear and walk in obedience. It just doesn't happen to you. The voice you listen to will determine the future you experience. This is what's so crazy. Moses never inherited the promised land. It's called the promised land, and it was promised to Moses in the nation of Israel. And Moses never inherited the promised land. If you go back to the fifth book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 37, it says this. It says, and the Lord was also angry with me because of you. He said to me, Moses, not even you will enter the promised land. God's talking to Moses, and he says, not even you will enter the promised land. Instead, your assistant, Joshua, will lead the people into the land. Encourage him. Isn't that what you want to do? You want to miss out on the promise and encourage the guy who's going to get it instead of you? Go get him, slugger. I'm out. I'm out of here. I'm going to the desert. You'll find me in the desert. Verse 39 says this. It says, I will give the land to your little ones, your innocent children. You were afraid they would be captured, but they will be the ones who occupy it. God has a promise that he wants you to occupy. You need to occupy the promise that God has ordained you to walk in. Don't let someone else occupy the promise that God has given you. So we have to ask ourselves this question. Why? Like, why didn't Moses get to walk into the promised land? Because the voice you listen to will determine the future you experience. I want to offer up this alternative ending. Let's pretend for a second that all 12 of the spies came back. And they're like, they're not just like, coming back from the promised land, they got like this little champion chant going on. They're like, boom, boom, ta, boom, boom, ta, boom, boom, ta. And then Moses is like, what's that beat I hear? And he comes running out, and they're in this little like dance routine, and they're just working it. And they're like, hey, you know, and they just point to the air, and they're killing it. They're killing it. And Moses is like, oh my gosh, I've missed you guys for the past 40 days. What's happened? And they're like, look, we went to the promise. Check out our grapes. Check out these grapes we got. Aren't these grapes gigantic? Two of them. It takes two of us to carry these big old grapes. You should see the Humphreys. You know what I'm saying? They bring back the big old grapes and they're like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. He's like, no, Moses, you don't understand. This land is sick. Like, this is amazing. Oh, my gosh. 40 days. It was like an extended vacation. We're sitting there. The sun was perfect. Milk and honey flowing over our feet. Kind of weird, but it's the promise, y'all. When in the promised land, do as the promised children do. You know what I'm saying? And they come back and they're like, this is amazing. There's some giants, but we're going to smash them because the Lord is with us. Who can be against us? Do you think for a second Moses would have been like, I don't know. I mean, we should probably just head back to the Red Sea. No, there's not a single chance in the world that those 12 spies would have come back all like full of faith. And Moses would have turned around and just said, I mean, you guys can go back. Me and the other 600,000, we're going to go wander around in the desert for 40 years. Y'all enjoy your Humphrey buffet. No. There's an interesting study that I heard a few years ago, and it's this. It says, you will be the average of the top 5 people that you hang out with in your life. You will be an average of the top 5 people you hang out with in your life. Whenever I'm mentoring guys, many times I will sit there with them, and I'm like, who are the top 5 people that you hang out with? And they'll write it down. And I was like, now who do you not want to be like? And they're like, this guy and this guy. I was like, then stop hanging out with them. You realize that most of the decisions you regret are stemming from the people you're hanging out with. Y'all, this is completely true. You want to know how I know this is true? Because yesterday I was on the way back from my parents' house and I pulled over on the side of the road on a 2-way street and I'm laying down on the ground taking a dang picture of a turtle crossing the road. I'm like, smile for the camera. And I'm literally on my stomach. I got Trace on speakerphone. I'm like, yeah, bro. Yep. And I'm taking a picture of a flipping turtle. Why am I doing that? Because my friends like Instagram. Because the people I hang out with like to Instagram. And so I decided I want to Instagram too. You want to know how I know that the top 5 people you hang out with are going to be an average of what you're going to be? Because I eat egg whites now. Why? I don't know. Because they're healthy. I don't know why I pay $25 a month for a gym membership, but I do. Why? Because the people I hang out with do. People, you are going to be an average sum of the top 5 people you hang out with. If you do not like the person you are, evaluate who you hang out with and stop hanging out with the ones that you don't want to be like. If Moses would have rolled up and the 12 guys were all like, man, this promised land's awesome. God's been good to us. Let's go get it. He'd have been like, all right, let's pack them up. Let's tell the people. But what happened? Fear spread like a disease because Moses began listening to the 10 and it drowned out the faith of the 2. And he began to second guess everything that God was telling him. God was saying, man, you got this, man, you know. Delivered you from Egypt. You know, you got out across the river, the sea. You're here. This is your land. Take it. And what's he doing? He's finding himself in a very torn position. And he's starting to make decisions that maybe he doesn't want to make. This is what's so cool. Is that it's not cool at all. It's horrible. Let me finish reading what I was reading earlier in that 5th book of the Bible, verse 40. God said this to Moses. He said, as for you, this is after he told him that Joshua was going to take the promised land and to encourage him. He said, as for you, he said, turn around now and go back through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Moses is literally at the very beginning of being caught in a cycle that he just got delivered from. You remember last week where his present problems had him pressed up against the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, and he looked like everything in his life was going to fall apart, and then God in his faithfulness delivered him through the Red Sea and took care of all of his enemies. And then he gets to the promise. He's influenced by voices around him that he shouldn't be listening to. And God says, all right, because of that, turn around and go back to the Red Sea. All right. And Moses walks back. And this is what blows my mind. For the next 40 years, Moses wanders around in the desert. The voice you listen to will determine the future you experience. What are you doing for the next 40 years? Because here's the reality, is that for a lot of us, you're at a crossroads in your life. You're at a crossroads where you see the destiny that you know God wants you to walk in, and you're scared to death of it. Why? Because it might hurt a little bit. Because it might be painful. You know, I don't know. It's, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. Who wants to go face giants? No one. What is the giant in your life? You know, is it ending something? Is it starting something? Is it discipline? What is it? Because your fear of the giants in your life is potentially what's going to start your cycle of wandering around. Here's what I really want to encourage you with, for real. Moses never made it to the promised land. And about 600,000 other Israelites never made it. Never late is better. Why? Because the alternative is never getting there. You might not ever, I'm not going to tell you that, man, you can walk in fear. You can make a lot of bad decisions, and by golly, the sovereign hand of God is just going to push you right to the path of success and victory. I don't believe that. I don't believe that that's true. I think there's a lot of people who are walking in the consequences of bad decisions. They don't reach the promised land. They don't reach the plan that God had for their lives. They reach the desert and they wander around, and then they're 55 years old saying, how did my life end up like this? How did this even happen? Why am I still wandering around in circles dealing with the same stuff I've been dealing with since I was 20? It's because they refused to make the right decision at the right time. Whenever you have faith, you'll walk in obedience. And whenever you have fear, you'll walk in disobedience. It's that simple. That is the root of obedience and disobedience. So my question for you today is, who are you listening to? Are you listening to your friends or your father? You know, are you listening to your fear or are you listening to your faith? Because the voice you listen to will determine the future you experience. Are you going to live in the provision of the promise, or are you going to die in the desert? You got two options. You can fight for the promise, for what God has given you, or you can wander around in circles like so many and just die. Live your life out and just die. Here's the great news, is I believe this tonight. I believe that it's not too late for you. And this is why. Because Jesus is the promise for all humanity. In placing your faith in Jesus and making decisions based off of Jesus is the best decision that you could ever make in your entire life. And you might still have to walk in the consequences of your past, but I can promise you that walking into your future with Jesus will be so much better than walking in circles without Jesus.